Hello.
Hi.
What's up, Henry?
The great Sonny Rollins. Henry Grimes. Pete LaRocca. 1959. Stockholm. Man. So I brought this to the table, Mr. Bob DeBoo, by the way. UC listeners.
Yeah, Ruben.
Didn't know about this, did you?
I love this track.
Didn't know about this, did you?
I didn't know. This is all new to me, and I'm geeking out over here, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to cut out time in my life to listen to the rest of this album on repeat. This is
impossible.
Beautiful.
Impossible.
I love it. And it's so clearly recorded, too. You can hear everybody so well.
Oh, yeah.
Henry's sound is humongous.
It's just humongous. His beat, dude. All of it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But there's this section coming up. I'm gonna have to just take a quick second. It's coming. I'm gonna turn this mic back up for a second. We gotta hear this. Here we go. Okay. All right. Anyway, this recording is very nostalgic for me. It's not new, obviously.
Right.
I've revisited over the years, as I do a lot of recordings that I love, and you know, like Saxophone Colossus, another great album from the great Sonny Rollins. They have the same kind of thing, right? They play the groove and they bust into this swing, and it has this uplifting feeling that I love. And you know,
absolutely.
And I mean, obviously, I've played this song a million times in my life because I grew up in the island of St. Thomas, you know.
I was curious. I was going to bring this up to you. The Caribbean vibe at the beginning.
Yeah.
How do you connect with that? You feel that, you must feel that differently than me growing up in Texas, you know, like a different vibe. But
I don't know. Maybe.
Any thoughts on that?
It's a groove. It's a groove. I mean, I probably definitely have played it way too many times where at one time I wanted to vomit. But, it's nostalgic in that way too, that I grew up playing that because I grew up on that island. But anyway, why are we here? Why are we talking about sax trios today? Let's break that down. What was the criteria, first of all?
There has to be a sax.
Okay. Hello.
There has to be three of them. Sax trio.
Hello.
Now we have a few different options here that we're gonna play, and I'm super excited to dig into these selections for today. We have five just really disparate, different type of grooves or different feelings of sax trios. But yes, the definition has to be three. We need a sax, and this is Upright Citizen, so we need a bass.
Hello. Okay. All right. That's the criteria.
Yeah.
Now I know. I wasn't sure because at first I was going to bring in some organ stuff, and you know, I figured you'd give me a side eye. So anyway.
next episode. I love it. But no, this track, if we can just go back real, real quick, the Henry Grimes on this. I love, man, every bit of this and how he's playing around inside the harmony and the groove. And you know, if we talk really quick about what it's like playing in a sax trio, you know, things open up. We don't have the chordal element.
Yeah.
Unless it was piano, sax, and bass, which would also be a sax trio, maybe. But here we are, like, thinking without a chordal player. And we've done an episode on this before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two. I don't even know.
Right.
But the freedom inside of the saxophone trio.
Yes.
I posited the Freedom Suite, Sonny Rollins. Hello. You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful sax trio. But there's just so many elements and that the bass player has to keep in mind from the perspective, right? Harmony, obviously the beat, nothing that changes if we had a piano in there, but it's just more apparent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that, how do you?
More exposed.
Am I saying this correctly? More exposed, exactly.
Oh, finally.
Yes, there's a lot
finally
more room.
Finally, I give you a word that's better. Oh my God. I love it.
Oh man.
Anyway.
Here we are. Upright Citizens.
Anyway, but let's move on to the next trio. Why don't you set that one up for us?
Yeah, this one. I'm a big fan of this trio. This is the Joe Lovano Trio from an album called Trio Fascination, 1998. Mm-hmm. And the song that I chose is entitled Symbolism. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's spelled like C-Y-M-B-A-L-I-S-M as opposed to S-Y, whatever the rest of the letters are in that word.
Hello.
but it's with Dave Holland. The great Dave Holland, who's also been a guest here at Upright Citizens. Check out that episode if you've not heard it before. And while I've got the moment, big ups to Open Studio, who sponsors this podcast. Check out everything, openstudiojazz.com. big fans, and we're both we both have courses out and a lot of content with Open Studio. So check them out. Elvin Jones on drums.
Hello.
And we were remarking, or I was talking earlier about, you know, just I'm fascinated with the different situations that we hear Elvin in, especially in trios. Mm-hmm. So everybody, we're so used to hearing the John Coltrane Quartet, like mm-hmm. hearing, or the Blue Note stuff, the stuff with Wayne, and you know, like these really iconic records and situations. Mm-hmm. But to hear him with Jimmy Garrison, Reggie Workman, mm-hmm. Et cetera, and then to hear him in trio settings, mm-hmm. playing differently.
Yeah,
it still sounds like Elvin, but there's a different element. You know, he's not coming in just doing. You know, what we might expect. Right. And I just love that, how he's involved with Dave Holland's beat.
No doubt.
It's just fascinating to listen to. And this is a great track. It's, you know, it's a little bit ambiguous feeling of the harmony. Mm. And I think that's a great thing too. It's a little free, and then there's a little bit of form in there. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. It's beautiful.
Well,
let's hear some.
Let's let it rip. Oh, there we go. Joe Lovano's Symbolism with Dave Holland and Elvin Jones.
It's beautiful. This broken feel, and it's. I'm glad we're doing these tracks in this order as well, because of course we heard in St. Thomas where they're grooving and then they cut into that heavy swing.
Right.
We let it roll just a little bit more. They're playing free. This broken feeling that's still pushing forward and still has all this motion and movement, but then they go into walking.
Right.
You know, like mm-hmm. they go into this fore feel a little bit later and pushing it forward. Mm-hmm. And any bass players out there, if you're playing St. Thomas too, make sure you're aware that it eventually gets out of that mm-hmm. that initial groove.
Right, right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's a thing. You know, I meant to say that a little bit earlier. And check out the changes too that Henry Grimes is using there.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Right.
Hello.
There's a bunch of different ways to play that, but we already talked about St. Thomas with Symbolism. Hearing that open beat, hearing Elvin's ride cymbal in the first place, that gets me. Just mm-hmm. the touch that he hits at the very beginning of the track.
Yeah,
like, that's Elvin. It's
every
beautiful.
Time I hear, and I've mentioned this, I definitely mentioned this before about Elvin, as mm-hmm. as he progressed, as time went on, and the equipment evolved, the drums, I mean, bass, pickups, everything. But his equipment, I can see how he just kept on evolving his own sound. Like the snare is different, the bass drum is like all of it. I mean, he obviously had got a great sound out of his instrument, but just the way the evolution of what the drums even just sound like from like when he played with Train to playing with Lord Joe Lozano is so interesting to me. I just love it. The sound of his cymbals, it's like he was like still tweaking it, whether it was conscious or not, still tweaking his things. I mean, of course, he was Elvin Jones. Yamaha was probably like, yo, here's everything you probably want. Here's Zildjian, whatever company, anything you
Please
want here.
Play this.
Just play this, you know, exactly. So it makes sense. But anyway, geeking out on cymbals and stuff, right? But anyway, let's move on to one of our favorite trios, modern day trios, and that would be the Fly Trio, consisting of Larry Grenadier, bass on top, hello, Mark mm-hmm. Turner, and the great Jeff Ballard. I mean, there's so much we can say about this trio. Obviously, longtime friends and mates, bandmates in different contexts over many decades, and you can hear it in their playing. They have, as far as I know, 3 records out. They have not recorded in a while, which is horrible, but... I'm sure there's something coming up in the works. I'm sorry.
I hope so.
In some time to come, I need to hit up one of them to find out if that's the case. But we chose this this particular track just to give some variety to our little mix here today. I mean, because this trio can go so many different places, but I really like this because it has a good combination of structure and great composition and some serious improvisation in the middle. This is the Westerns Lands on the Year of the Snake album by the Fly Trio.
I need a breath after that. That's amazing. That, man, Ruben, great selection. That I love that so much. That's amazing.
I mean,
three masters of sound.
Oh, right?
That's
I like
the first thing that comes to my mind from the very beginning.
I like that.
Mark Turner sound. I just, you know, it's Mark Turner when you hear Mark playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Larry, especially the pizzicato stuff at the beginning.
Right.
Beautiful. I mean, just like these, it's like explosions of sound, like these pizzicato notes that are so gorgeous. But his work with the bow,
wow,
especially, just amazing. Yeah.
Represented.
And of course, getting into with Jeff Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to speak over you, but with the stuff that Jeff was doing, just really, really the non-traditional stuff that he's doing. We're not talking about time. We're talking about decorating time, you know, filling in that space. Man, he's just a master.
Soundscapes. Yeah.
Soundscapes.
There
beautiful.
We go. Yeah. It's just incredible. I mean, just virtuosos, right? That's all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The proof is in the pudding. Proof is in the pudding. Hello.
There it is. The Fly Trio.
Fly Trio.
And if you've not, if any of our listeners haven't checked out the Fly Trio, go check out some Fly Trio, because that's not what it all sounds like. They go so many different places and super creative with the compositions, all obviously, maybe not obviously, but all original compositions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah, pretty sure.
And just, it goes all over the place.
Yes.
You know, just amazing.
They go
amazing
a lot of different places. So check them out. So let's go to our different place. another modern day trio. I heard this trio, you know, many years ago. If I'm not mistaken, they were in the Boston area together. And, you know, we always say, nurture those relationships out here. And you can hear it in this trio's playing. Melissa Aldana and the Crash Trio. That's with Francisco Mela and Pablo Menares on bass. great young bassist, by the way. I mean, he's been floating around the scene for quite some years, and he's really doing it. I really enjoy his playing. He's so solid.
Yeah, Pablo is amazing. Absolutely. Big fan of his. So let's bring in this next track. This is Dear Joe by Melissa Aldana and the Crash Trio. From the bass perspective, yeah. Pablo's sound.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a beautiful, beautiful sound. But everything you mentioned that he's solid before we played the track. Just his groove and his like, you know, you can swing in this style, right?
Yeah.
His swing in this style, the bouncing aesthetic that he's bringing in is just, I love it. So inviting.
Yeah, he has everything you need. Everything you need, you know, in the bass is the sound, the clarity, the groove, you know. I mean, those three things are probably the top of the list, you know. But also, he's able to pull back, give you some, turn it up when you need, you know. I mean, hello, that's why he's working as much as he does, right?
Very cool.
So, where do we go from
that's
here?
That's a great one. That's a new one to me, but let's go, or a newish one to me. So, I always thank you for bringing in new stuff for me to check out. Mm-hmm. And any of our listeners, too, send us some stuff. UprightCitizens@gmail.com. Anytime, send some suggestions. Let us know what you're thinking about the podcast. What are some of your favorite sax trios that we're not dipping into that maybe we don't know about? So check it out.
I don't know.
Let's
I don't know.
Go.
I don't know. I
you
think,
don't want to do that?
Well, no. What I'm thinking is that we need to do another one of these, I think. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is part one?
Yeah.
There we go.
Part one. We just made that decision, y'all. We just made the decision. We're going to do another one.
Ding. It's just
we had
like
about
that.
20 of these. We always come up with a whole bunch of tracks to go back and forth, but I think we can do another one. And let's go out with
this one. Stop it too? So this one.
Wow.
This particular recording, you know, coming from something less familiar to me to something that's I've been listening to since, you know, the late 90s.
Same here.
Kenny Garrett's Triology.
Mm-hmm.
Triology?
Yeah.
Triology.
Yeah.
This one just lived in the car for a long time. Same with so many people. And I hear you saying the same thing, Ruben. This trio record just affected a lot of people. Sax players, man, every sax player was trying to do this. You know, all these songs, you know, after this. But Wayne's Thang from the Kenny Garrett Trio, Triology, 1995 with Brian Blade and Kiyoshi Kitagawa.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful, beautiful vibe. There's some great arrangements and compositions on this album. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that always comes to mind is their version of how they do Giant Steps on this album.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the first one that comes to my mind, you know, but there's just so many great tracks in there. I think, and there's another great bassist that's on this album.
Mm-hmm.
The great Charnette Moffett is sharing duties on this album and just mind-blowing playing from both of them.
Definitely.
But Kiyoshi... on Wayne's Thing, lays down this, I call it a must-know bass line. It's an essential, I could use air quotes here. I'm going to use air quotes for anybody listening. Modern jazz must-know bass line. You know, and it'll be evident when we play the track. You've probably heard it, but it's undeniable, and I just love this. They also, here's another track where they're coming from a groove And then they go into swing later on, and it just, you know, it takes on a whole new life, elevates just beautifully. So,
hey, man.
Wayne's thing.
The
Kenny
sound
Garrett,
of
I love
modern
this.
Jazz groove to swing. Or should I should I say sound of modern jazz in the mid-90s or early 90s. But anyway, but I'd like to, you know, point out, too, it's interesting to hear Brian Blade, his evolution, too. I mean, the way he plays on this track is different than he plays to today. You know what I mean? He sure. still has the same elements to his thing, but it's just different, you know? But he's still, he's just this young, fiery lion. I'm playing these grooves and swinging my butt off, and it's my sound. Yeah. And just to see how he's evolved as a player and his sound is incredible when I listen back to this track.
So this is... This is a podcast, and I wish everybody could see like your physical nature when you were just talking about Brian Blade and that, you know, like you movement, you know, you had your hands in the air when you're talking about Brian Blade. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I like see when I hear him on records. You know, I think back to the really lovely times that I've been able to see him in person, and he has all this energy and fire. And when I hear him on record, that image I can't get rid of.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Brings so much love and joy to the music.
Well, I mean, to bring it back to the bass, big up to Kiyoshi. He's a longtime member of the Kenny Barron Trio, so you can see him, you know, with him a lot because they work a lot. So if you want to hear him today and fresh sound, you can look when Kenny Barron's coming in your area. And on that note, thank you, UC listeners. Thank you, Bob, for coming on this first Sax Trio journey, and let's go out with Kenny Garrett's Wayne's Thang from his record trilogy, Brian Blade, Kiyoshi Kitagawa on bass.
All right, peace, y'all. Enjoy.